Take your Bibles, if you would. We're going to go back to 1 Kings chapter number 19. I preached out of this chapter this morning, but I want to go back and share maybe just a few thoughts with you. I really don't have much as far as notes are concerned, but maybe just a few thoughts. It's a little bit simplistic tonight. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I think sometimes as we read through God's Word, we kind of overlook some of the simple things and some of the very basic things about life that often we get so busy in life that we kind of overlook a lot of the blessings that we find every day in our life, and want to share that with you as well. Just a little bit of a foundation. I mentioned this morning, I kind of ended and I did not have time to continue on and finish from this morning, but I want to kind of pick up a little bit of where we left off tonight. I want to look a little further. We looked at the life of Elijah. We noticed in his life the great things that were taking place in his life, and it seemed like he was some person that really had everything going and had everything in order, but yet it changed when the news came from Jezebel that she was going to try to take his life. And because of that death threat, he flees, he runs for his life, as we mentioned this morning. He runs about 90 miles, is what most Bible scholars say, that he traveled to get away from her. He went in a certain direction, he gets to that point, he tells his servant to stay behind, and then he goes another day ahead into the wilderness. He ends up finding a juniper tree, and we find that he pretty well just collapses under that. And we find a little bit of his thought process as he was there, as we had noticed this morning as well. We find in verse number 4 that in the middle of the verse that he is now down and under a juniper tree. And the Bible goes on in verse number 4 and says, "And he requested for himself that he might die." Now, I mentioned also this morning, how ironic is that? Now he's wanting to die. But just before that, he was fleeing for his life because he didn't want to die. So he didn't want to die in one moment, so he flees and he runs for his life. Now he's asking God to take his life in verse number 4. And he says in the verse, and we mentioned a lot about it this morning, he says, "It is enough now." And we've made note this morning that it's not up for us to decide when it's enough. God is the one that decides that. We don't tell God when it's enough. God is the one that decides in our life when enough is enough. But he basically is angry. You can see that he is very discouraged. He's disappointed. Things didn't turn out the way he thought they were going to turn out in his life. And so he's basically just pointing a finger at God in anger in verse number 4. And he makes a statement and says, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." So that is his request, and that is the statement and the response that he gives back to God. Now, we're going to look on past now this, and we're going to look at now God's reaction. What does God do with a man of God, a prophet of God, that has been very obedient unto God, very prosperous, very successful in the work of God? But all of a sudden, he's turned his back on God, and we listed many reasons this morning of why we think he did that. But how's God going to respond to that? Is God going to send down judgment? God just sent down fire from heaven. I mean, he could send fire down from heaven again and consume Elijah. God could grant Elijah his request. God could take his life. But we find, as we read on, that God... We'll find here that God actually is going to respond to Elijah with love, with grace, and with mercy. I'm thankful tonight that God is a God of mercy. I'm thankful tonight that God is a God of love. I'm glad that God is a caring God this morning. Even when I fail Him, and even when I am disobedient unto Him, and even when I sin, God always loves His children. And it is very obvious here as God responds. You see, this evening we must realize and understand God never forsook Elijah, not one time. Now, Elijah forsook God, but God never forsook Elijah. You see, this evening, God never left Elijah. He was never alone, even though he felt like he was alone. And if you read on in the chapter, he begins to complain to God and believing he's the only one that's taking a stand, and I'm the only one that serves you, and I'm the only one trying to do something great for you, which was very untrue. But that's what happens when you get down and discouraged and depressed and upset, and things aren't working right and things aren't turning out the way you want them to. You kind of tend to believe that you're suffering and you're the only one that is suffering, and that's not true at all. We find here that, in fact, God loves Elijah. And as we mentioned, we must be very thankful tonight for the love and the mercy and the grace that God sheds on our life every single day. Let's not wait tonight until we are the one that is maybe lying on our back sick, and maybe it is us that is maybe going through some trials in life. Let's not wait till then to beg God for grace and mercy. Let's realize that God gives us grace and mercy every day that we live. We find that God is faithful. Even when we are faithless, God is still faithful. We preach a lot about faith. We teach and we preach how that we ought to be a people of courage. We ought to be a people of boldness with the Word of God. And Elijah was all of that until one day he had a weak moment. He made the wrong choice. He flees. He's now under the juniper tree. He's asking God to die. He didn't want to die, but now he wants to die. Very confused individual, very discouraged, very angry, very upset, very disappointed in the way life is turning out for him. But tonight, let's switch gears just for a moment here and look at how God does some very basic, simple things for the life of Elijah. So I went back and I thought to myself, okay, I've looked at Elijah, and I mentioned this morning in our message how that I've always had this certain view of Elijah. I've actually changed my view of him because I can actually relate to him in many ways and find myself in the same situation that I find Elijah in often. Even though Elijah did maybe disappoint us, he did let us down according to his fleeing here, and he should have took a stand, and he should have stayed with the people of God. He should have led the people of God at that time. They needed someone to lead them. So how's God going to respond? Let's look here tonight at some very basic things. Look, if you would, with me at verse number 5. The Bible says, "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree." Now I want to stop right there and just realize something very simplistic here, that even Elijah, through all this, found comfort in sleep. Now, have you ever had nights where you just cannot sleep? I think we've all been there. When you are worried, or when you are upset, or when your heart is broken, or when you are going through a trial, and there's just sometimes, for some reason, you don't really know the answer to it, but you just can't sleep well. I believe tonight that when you get to verse number 5, that we find Elijah. He's not in the most comfortable location. He's not in a ideal location to maybe enjoy sleep, but yet we find that he does fall asleep here. And I honestly believe tonight that the sleep that overtook here Elijah as he was under the juniper tree, I honestly believe that it was actually a gift from God. You know, this evening we never think about this, but you know, we never thank God for a good night's rest. But a good night's rest is very important to us. I mean, some of us, we're thinking about it right now. I can't wait to bedtime. You know, I can't wait to I can crawl in bed and fall asleep because we're worn down, or maybe we're tired and we need to get a good night's rest and get started back in the week tomorrow. But how often in life do we sleep night after night and never tell God thank you for a good night's sleep? Now, you're going to find here that God doesn't do miraculous things here, even though I think there are maybe a few miracles that take place here, but nothing like what Elijah has experienced. But you're seeing a little bit of the response that God has towards his servant here. Now, God could have been angry with him. God could have taken his life. God could have granted him his wish and took his life here. But how does God respond? The first thing that I find that Elijah enjoys is rest that I believe only comes from God. Now, I believe this. I believe that God can make life, or I believe that God can take my life and make it where I don't sleep well at night. I think God can do that. I think that God can either give me a good night's rest, or if there is things maybe in life that God needs to get my attention over, it may be He keeps me up at night. But it's amazing here that God refreshes Elijah here with a good night's rest. I believe he probably was physically tired. I believe that he was probably mentally tired. I believe that he was spiritually tired. And I believe that God realized here that one of the greatest needs that Elijah has, the first thing that he needs to get him back on track, is give him a good night's rest. So he often,
how many nights has Elijah gone to sleep? No telling, hundreds, thousands of times. But yet, when he was in his darkest time, God comforted him to a point where he allowed him to get the rest that he needed. We often do not value things in life that are very simple things in life, such as rest. Often, we tend not to thank God for the good health that we have today. But boy, when our health is taken from us, we realize how gifted we were to have good health for the time that we had it. You know, we ought not wait until we are in a tragic situation to start thanking God for it. We ought to thank God today for what we have. We ought to thank God today for the good health and a good night's rest that we find often in life. And God was renewing Elijah's strength because Elijah's going to need some strength. It's interesting here. We find in verse number 5 that he lay asleep, the Bible says, or he slept under a juniper tree. And then in verse number 5 it says, "Behold, then an angel touched him." I don't know how he touched him. I don't know where he touched him. But I find here that God sends an angel to minister unto Elijah. Now, most people would expect judgment. Some may even expect maybe the curse of God upon the life of Elijah. But every time that I look and I read the passage, all that I can find in God's reaction towards Elijah is love. He gives him sleep. Secondly, an angel touches him. Now, may I remind us tonight, and I don't know why, but when I was reading through this, it made me go back several weeks ago when Brother Richardson was talking about and preaching out of the book of Revelation about angels around the throne. Do you remember that? And describing that, and he made it my mind can picture it as he was talking about it and as he was describing a little bit about the angels around the throne of God. And I honestly believe that God describes or commissions one of the angels around the throne of God to go down to earth and to minister unto a fallen prophet of God. I don't know about you, dear friend, but that's love. I don't know about you, but that's mercy. That's kindness, that's grace. And God takes an angel of God, sends it down to Elijah, who's under the juniper tree, who he allowed to go to sleep here, and this angel touches him. Now, I don't know all that is involved in that, and I don't know what all we could maybe kind of take away from that, but somehow this angel touches the life of Elijah. Elijah is asleep here, and we find here, not only is this angel going to touch Elijah, but this angel is actually going to minister unto Elijah. He's going to help get his life straightened out. He's going to get him back up on his feet. He's going to set him back on the right path. He's going to basically rescue this man who actually, before he goes to sleep, wanted to die. He was so frustrated and so angry and so discouraged in life that he actually wanted God to take his life. But God chooses not to do that, sends the angel here, and touches the life of Elijah. We find in verse number 5 that he touches him here. Instead of the judgment of God, God sends mercy. Instead of judgment of God, God sends grace. Instead of correction on the life of Elijah, God sends an angel here and touches the life of Elijah to comfort the prophet of God who quit on God. The angel was given there to supply his needs, to take care of him, to give him strength,
to get him back up physically, to get him back up mentally, to get him back up spiritually in life. And, you know, it's amazing. You know, it's often so interesting. You know, all throughout the Bible, God uses angels. May I remind us tonight that it was an angel who delivered Lot. It was an angel who shut the lion of the mouths in the lion's den there in Daniel's time. It was an angel that visited Peter in prison and broke the chains of bondage in his life. It was an angel that assured Paul that no one on the ship would perish. And on it goes. You'll find that God uses angels in specific times. I had actually even thought about preaching a little bit about angels this morning, and had a few thoughts there as well. It's just amazing. You know, a lot of debate about angels. There are some that say angels are no longer used or present. Some say that angels are still present. Some will even maybe use some scripture to kind of describe about how that there may be angels around and you don't even realize it. People are touched by the angels of God. This past week, I was thinking a little bit, but I was pinning a few notes down the other day. There is a lady, her children go to school here, and I do not know her name, but she was in a meeting that we were in the other day. We had Boosters Club, Boosters Club. And there's a lady there that comes every single time, and her children come to school here, and she's in a wheelchair. Do you know her name? Marty Muirhead. Am I right? Okay. Does anybody know who that is? I don't know her personally. I don't know anything about her. But I'll tell you what, I've never met a more joyful person than her. Now, I don't know all of her story. In fact, I went to Brother Richardson the other day, and I asked, you know, a little bit about her story and how she became, you know, she's in a wheelchair all for many, many years now, and I didn't know. She went to school here, and it wasn't long after she graduated from school here that, am I right, Brother Miss Richardson, she was in a car accident, am I right? And she's paralyzed, am I correct? But I've never met a more happy person in my life than her. And I'll be honest with you, she can do more than a lot of people who have two good legs. I mean, it doesn't seem like she ever has a bad day. I mean, she's always very happy. She's very, very helpful. She's always involved. She's always going. She has great ideas. She's got a smile on her face. And I thought to myself, what a shame it is for me to complain about things in life when there's someone who has a lot of things to overcome in life, and life's not always easy for her, but yet we don't even, I mean, we neglect so many things in life. I mean, what a blessing she was the other day, and I don't know much about her. Some of you know her a lot better than I do in her story and so forth, but I'm just, be honest with you, I was just touched by her life. I mean, just by her sure excitement and joy and happiness, even though she lives her life in a wheelchair. And I thought to myself, I would hope that I would have that kind of joy and happiness if I were in her shoes. There's a lot of people that take tragic things that happen in life and it makes them become very, very bitter, but yet she overcame that and has become a joy to be around. What an overcomer in life. I mean, what a role model for someone for people to look to. And has two children. She has two children. Am I right on that? She has three children, all girls. Is that right? One boy and two girls, and she takes care of them, picks them up from school, involved in school. She comes to the ball games and so forth. She helps with Boosters Club, and no telling what else she does. You know, that is true. She mentioned that the other night and so forth. And, I think about the life of Elijah here and how that God sends an angel. And you can have your own ideas. Now, I'm not going to debate here with you tonight about the issue of angels and this and that and so forth. But I'm saying tonight, there are a lot of people around us that can touch you. And Elijah was touched by this angel. It was an angel that touches him in verse number 5. We find in verse number 5, he gets the sleep that he needs. I believe that's a gift that God gives unto him. We find in verse number 5 that this angel touches him in verse number 5. And the Bible says that he touched him and it awakens Elijah here. And when he awakens, he says unto him in verse number 5, arise and eat. Verse number 6, and he looked and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. We find here that he arises up out of the sleep because of the touch of the angel. He's got his strength back. He looks up, and lo and behold, the angel has just cooked him a meal and poured him a glass of water. I was reading a little bit in a book the other day about this as well, and how that Elijah had eaten bread. Remember, we mentioned this morning that ravens would bring unto him and to feed him. But hey, Elijah's never had a bread baked by an angel. You see, tonight it was Elijah that actually drank water out of the brook that was provided by God. But he's never had water poured by an angel before. Many believe the water that was in the cup came from the river of God. But what a blessing. You see, tonight, you see a little bit of God's response. He had sleep. God sends an angel to help him. And how many times has God helped us and we never realize it? How many times do we walk through a day and miss the very simple, basic things of life and never realize how it's a gift from God? He awakens out of his sleep, and God provides him food to eat and water to drink. Very, very simple things. How often do we go through a day and never really thank God for the food that we have? How often will we take a drink of water in a day and never realize the drink of water is an actual gift from God? You see, tonight it's not something grand, not anything large that God does for Elijah. Now, God's already performed many miracles and done a lot of large, big things in his life. But right here in our message this evening, you'll find that God doesn't do anything grand. He doesn't do anything real large. All that he does is give him a good night's rest. He gives him something to eat, and he gives him something to drink. And sometimes we need to realize how simplistic life really is and how many small things are in life and things that we don't really notice very often and many things that we don't take notice of very often, but we ought to because they're a gift from God. See, tonight, God loved Elijah. And as we mentioned this morning, I'm glad that maybe when we fail and when we stumble, God reacts in some mysterious ways. It could be that God puts an angel in your path. I wonder in a day's time, how many times do we pass by people and walk through life and so many things happen behind the scenes of life and we don't even realize it's the moving and working of God. You see, I don't think anything happens by mistake. I think things happen on purpose in life. I think God does everything on purpose. I think God has a plan for everything. I think God has a plan for today. I think God has a plan for tonight. And I think God has a plan for tomorrow. I think God always has it under control. And the simple things, just like a good night's rest. We often go to sleep. We get a good night's rest. We get up in the morning. And how often we go out into the world and out into our routine of the day and never thank God for the good night's rest. We drink a glass of water. We drink a glass of milk. We drink some refreshment. We eat something. We take food into our bodies, and often we gobble it all up. We're in such a hurry. We got to get to the next thing in life. We're always busy. We're always on the go. We got to get here. We got to do that. And we never really sit down and thank God for the many basic things that he provides day in and day out. If find here in verse number 5, in verse number 6, this angel touches him, and we find here that after that, that we find that he Elijah had food to eat. We find here that we find that God provides him with water to drink, and it all comes from God. And how blessed we are tonight. We find here in verse number 6, he did eat and he did drink, and the Bible says, and laid him down again. Now, when you read that last little phrase there, when it says, and he laid him down again, it tells us it's happening for the second time. So it means God is the one that put him to sleep the first time, and God's going to put him to sleep the second time. Simplistic things that God does. You see, God is a God of miracles, but God is also a God of simple, ordinary things throughout a day. He goes on here, you'll find in verse number 6, that he looked, and behold, there was a cake on the coals, and there was a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat, and he did drink, and he laid him down again. So he goes back to sleep again. Verse number 7, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, arise and eat, because thy journey is too great for thee. And we find here that the angel is actually ministering unto the life of Elijah and helping him and preparing him for the task that lies ahead of him. You see, God's not done with Elijah. And God's not done with us. That's why we're here tonight. That's why we're breathing air. That's why we're alive. Because God has a purpose and a plan for our life. I mentioned the lady in the wheelchair. What's her name again? First name again? I'm sorry.
Marty.
Is that okay? All right. Marty is her name, and I'd like to kind of maybe hear her story someday and her testimony about her life. And you know, there are so many people I believe that God places in our life. You know, I don't know what tomorrow may. I don't know what tomorrow may bring. I don't know what's going to be in my week for the next week. I don't know if the Lord's going to tarry this week. I don't know what's going to happen. But I do believe this. I believe that God places specific people in my life that I need, that God uses to minister unto me, to encourage me, to correct me, to push me, if you would, to show me my wrong, and maybe to give out that helping hand. You know, there's so many times in life where all people need sometimes is just someone to just lend them a helping hand. You know, Elijah's by himself, but that's no obstacle for God, so God just sends an angel. But I will say this, in God's Word, God doesn't always use angels. Many times God will use another individual. But how often are we so busy in life that we pass by all the things that God has in store for us on a daily basis? And by the way, we ought to be that helping hand also. We ought to be that one that God uses to help someone else. And I read tonight, as we've looked a little past where I left off this morning, we spent so much time on the life of Elijah and his response to the obstacle that was placed in his life, or the trial that was in his life, and how he responded to that. But look at God and how he responds. You see, tonight it could be all that you actually need in life is a good night's rest and refreshment to get you going again. It could be tonight that there's someone in life that maybe just needs a helping hand. There may be someone here in life tonight, or someone that we may meet even this week, and all they need is just someone to give them a little bit of encouragement. Because I have found it to be true, there are Elijahs everywhere in life that are downbeaten, downtrodden, discouraged, disappointed. I've been there, and it could be that I'm that one tomorrow. But boy, life is full of hurting people. And maybe we ought to respond a little bit like God does and just give a helping hand. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We'll just stop right here tonight. Brother Bradley will come, and I'll turn it over to him here in just a moment.